Well, welcome to another edition of American Christian. I am here with Dr. David Nichols. My name is Pete Cooper. And we are Heart of the Father Ministries.
We're excited to be coming to you today because we got some fresh stuff for you.
That's a good way of
putting it. If you weren't riled up before this, you'll be riled up now after you listen to this. I mean, in a good way, of course.
Right? Yeah, riled in the good sense of the nature.
Ramped up.
Huh? Ramped up.
Okay.
Good Lord, thank you.
So how many times have you been hanging out with a group of Christians or an individual, and a topic came up, and it sounded kind of like this? If we could only get Jesus to come to our church.
Whoa.
Or the presence of Jesus, or however you want to say it. If we could only get Jesus in here, man, all our trouble would be over. It'd be so wonderful. You know, the church would be full of people. It'd be just be so awesome. Well, we're going to delve into some scriptures here today that might want to temper that request a little bit, but understand it, and certainly we do want to be in the presence of Jesus as much as we can.
Right.
Please don't misunderstand me. But in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, it says this: So he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Here we go. Jesus goes to church. Okay. Now, I know, synagogue, there was no church then, but the gathering of believers.
Right. Okay. And the reading of the word.
Right, yeah. Right.
As was custom.
Exactly. His custom.
Yeah.
Right. That ties back to what you were saying in the last podcast, Pete, of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Come on.
Jesus was into it himself. All right, so, no, he was.
Yeah.
So verse 17 says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Of course, this is out of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, if you're going to take a passage out of the Old Testament, I mean, this is one that is pretty loaded, wouldn't you say, Pete?
It would be.
Oh, my word. So, verse 20, remember, he's in the synagogue. He's at church.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like the special speaker.
You know? Yeah, probably sitting up in the front.
Yeah, right? Because the dude...
Maybe not standing in the back.
The dude hands him the scroll.
Right.
Of Isaiah. So verse 20, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. What happens when Jesus comes to church? First of all, he fulfills scripture powerfully. As he says, he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" So far, you know, this isn't too bad, right? I mean, it's pretty good, actually, because Jesus is reading Isaiah 61. He's saying, okay, it's fulfilled today. And they're like, wow, what does that mean? I mean, you're this carpenter guy from Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then Jesus takes off and starts preaching. Okay, we want Jesus to come to our church. Okay, here you go. He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. A Gentile. Jesus, why do you have to bring that up on a nice sunny, well, I almost said Sunday, but it was Saturday morning, okay, in the synagogue, which we would call the church. Well, Jesus, that's controversial. We want Jesus to come to our church. Man, and look at verse 27. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian.
Who's that?
Another Gentile.
Oh, here we go.
An army officer.
What is the deal? It brings such an uncomfortable setting.
Why is Jesus always making people uncomfortable?
Wait a minute, Doc. That's like saying being nice all the time, right? Ooh. Why aren't Christians always supposed to be nice?
Oh, yeah.
You know, but here we go. Jesus is at church. We see that
he's
in verse 22.
He's not being nice.
Yeah, he's really, really, right? So they marvel at his gracious words in verse 22. And then we go down into verse 28 and 29. 28 says, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
So next point here, when Jesus comes to church, people get mad. I'm just saying.
Things get exposed. Yeah, the naked truth of things, right?
And then what? Verse 29, they rose up and thrust him out of the city.
Oh.
When Jesus comes to church, he's kind of like John Wesley. That's what they did to him. They rode him out of the city. But Jesus, here, they thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Now, listener, what do you think about that?
We would never do that.
No. Well, at our church.
I mean, but really, I think that we really think that we would never do that.
But we do already.
Okay.
If it's the presence of Jesus, if it's the Spirit of Jesus,
yeah.
If it's the Holy Spirit that we want to come, as soon as he starts bringing truth, as soon as he starts bringing conviction, what happens?
We rebel.
People get mad.
Yeah.
People walk.
They get.
People grieve the Holy Spirit, and what does he do then? He goes away.
Well, what's the answer? Throw him off a cliff. How many times have we thrown Jesus off a cliff? Man, come on. I mean,
how would you do that in today's world, Pete? How would you throw Jesus off the cliff?
By not listening to the words that he has spoken.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
By denying the blood.
And the power that is in that name.
By denying your righteousness that he's given to you because you've been born again, but yet you don't want to step into the destiny that he's given to you. Because he says that he has plans of hope, peace and hope and a future for you, but you don't believe it.
But I'm sitting in church, Pete, and I'm
distracted.
My hair is combed, and I look nice. I smell nice. I'm sitting next to my wife and my family, and it's a nice, beautiful Sunday morning.
Yeah, right? Till the coffee spilled on the way into church. And now your brand new car and the carpet in your car is all coffee stained. And you're getting an attitude over a coffee spill. But we got to go in and we got to, like you say, put on our Sunday best. Right?
And you know, I think for me it was more back when the kids were little. Okay. On the way to church.
Wow.
He took my doll.
Four boys. Oh, man.
He took my pistol.
Big, yeah. These are big kids. Not small kids.
Well, that's the thing about our boys. They really were never little. They were young. Pete has seen them. He knows.
Yes, they are big men. Man, but throwing Jesus off of a cliff. And then, of course, Jesus works his way past that, but
Yeah, and isn't it also, so these we already saw a couple things now that happen when Jesus comes to church, right?
Right.
He fulfills Scripture, mm-hmm. boldly declares the Word of God, mm-hmm. and he applies it, as we just read here, and at first they liked it, but then the second part, they got mad.
Right.
That's the other thing, people get mad when Jesus comes to church. Just mark it down, it's going to happen. So then, here's another thing that happens when Jesus comes to church.
Yeah, but really, if you drill down into the why people are getting mad, right?
Right.
What is it that is inside the flesh? Is it something that is speaking to the truth of things that you're unwilling to let go?
That is. That's exactly it. And...
Because he's talking about healing.
Right. They want to see miracles and healings probably for their own sake.
Mm.
And he's not doing it.
Mm.
So he challenges them. But this next thing that happens when Jesus comes to church has really, really intrigued me.
Right.
Then he went down to Capernaum. So this all happened in Nazareth, but now...
Right.
He goes to Capernaum, and he was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with exousia, authority.
Mm. It's kind of like the beginning of our passage, right?
Right.
They marveled.
Right.
Right.
And this authority that Jesus had came about because of his close intimacy and hanging out with the Father.
Come on.
Of whom he was the Son.
Man,
ooh,
I like it.
Right. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. We want Jesus to come to our church. I'm not sure you would like it all that much if he really came. In the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Now just kind of imagine this, listener. You're just in this beautiful Saturday morning. Everybody's there. They're all dressed nice. The men are on one side. The ladies are on the other side. Mm-hmm. And, the guy's up there that takes care of the scrolls like we read before. And Jesus is there. He says, wow, Jesus came to church today.
We've been hearing about this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And all of a sudden, in the back of the synagogue, this demon screams.
Oh.
Screams out of this man. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Actually, I'd like to give the rhetorical answer to that rhetorical question. Yes! Okay. I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
Wow.
That's what the demon says out of the man.
Right.
Okay. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him.
Mm.
Now, what is uncanny to me, Pete,
yeah.
is an experience that I had
yeah.
in a certain state in the Midwest. Okay. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. On a Sunday morning, the church was full.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful time of worship. The worship team went down. The pastor got up. And I had ministered in this church many times previously. And the pastor said, now Dr. Nichols is going to come and minister. So the Lord said to me before that, during the worship, he said, just do mass healing over everybody. Don't pray for individuals today. So you got to get to the word. Okay, so I hear that. So I get up there. I say, okay, everybody stand up, and we're just going to release healing over everybody here. So I started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and this is what makes me think of this scripture.
Yeah.
This woman in the back just leads out with this blood-curdling scream. Way louder than that. I mean, just
right.
Everybody heard it, believe me. But she just did it one time. And
wow.
So now I got my eyes open, mm-hmm. okay? You know, it's a good time to watch and pray. And so I see her. She kind of was out of her seat a little bit when she did the scream, but now she kind of edges back into her seat and standing. So I just keep going on with what I'm doing. Right. I've learned that. Don't let demons stop you from what the Lord tells you to do.
Get the rest of it out.
Right.
Right.
So I come to the end of that time, and I say, okay, now, anybody, you know, something really happened to you now, and this, it was like maybe a 3 or 4 minute kind of, you know, releasing of healing. This woman steps out and comes right up to the front, like a beeline. So she gave this testimony that was kind of interesting. It wasn't real clear, but I knew she needed more of Jesus.
Okay.
So, you know how you have these scenes in your mind where everything goes in slow motion? When I remember this, my hand, my right hand, was moving from above her head to go down onto her head in slow motion. Okay, it probably wasn't that way when it really happened. But when my hand touched the top of her head, in an instant of time, she was thrown to the floor by a demon spirit.
Mm.
She on her back, she's crab walking around in a circle on her back in front of the whole congregation. Not on Friday night, not on Saturday night, on Sunday morning with a church full of people who looked nice, who smelled nice, who, and they're good people in that church, actually. I'm not being critical that way. But so I'm like, so what would Jesus do? So I pointed my finger right down at her, at the demon, basically, and I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. She just relaxed relaxed back on her back on the floor. So, but in an instant, as soon as her back hit the floor from being arched from the crab walking, she spun over with supernatural strength onto her stomach, and she started slithering across the floor like a snake.
Dr. Nichols.
Not on Friday night, not on Saturday night, on Sunday morning. Now, I'll be honest with you, listener, this is not what I would have preferred. In my natural person, you know, you would prefer to deal with this in a back room, or you know, you and the pastor have a separate session with this lady or whatever, but right. That's not how it happened.
Right.
Jesus came to church that day. So she's slithering like a snake now. Everybody's watching her. So I walk over there too. Oh, and by the way, one of her slithers, her feet hit the music stand that was holding my Bible and notes, and they went flying.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I'm getting a little, what should I say?
Irritated?
Yeah, a little incensed here. Well, not at her, at the demon.
Right.
So I walk over there and I say to that one, you are going to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus. And it did. And then she once again just relaxed and was laying on the floor. So then the pastor's wife came and she kind of started ministering to her, got her sitting on a chair and everything, and we went on with the service.
Right.
And this is what was really amazing to me that day. Because you can see why that would make me think of this scripture, right?
Right.
Okay. So while I'm preaching, I'm saying to myself, okay, Nichols, listen, when this service is over, you know, I didn't come here to bust up this church or give this church a bad reputation or anything. I came to advance the kingdom of heaven.
Invited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, when this service is over, Nichols, you are going to go to the back door where everybody goes out, and you are going to stand there, and you're going to talk to anybody that wants to talk about this.
Mm.
And I did. And at least a dozen people stopped on the way out that day, and here are the things they said to me. I'm so glad this happened in our church today. And I'm like, really? You are? Yes. No, they said, yes, I am. Another one said, this should happen more. And I was like, well, maybe you should be up front then. No, I didn't say that. I mean, it was all positive. All the people that stopped, not one negative comment about it that morning. And the church was full. There were probably somewhere around 200 people there that morning.
My goodness.
And I left there saying, wow, when Jesus comes to church, if you can get through your worldview, if you can get through your fleshly expectations, think about this woman, right?
Right.
She needed to be set free. Now, hey, if you had everything the way you want it all the time, would I have done it that way? Probably not.
Right.
But that's how it happened. And so that takes us to verse 36. In Luke here, it says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Okay, so in the story in the Bible here, in my story, it was kind of like that. It was no big struggle to cast those demons out, because I had authority and power from Jesus. I had the authority of his commission upon me to go there.
Yes.
I had the power of the Holy Spirit
in
me and on me by the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I had every right to take authority over there. They are beneath me, and I have authority over them. Jesus says I do, and he demonstrated it here. So it's two things, though, not just one. It's the authority, which is exousia, that is the right to speak and act.
Mm.
And believer, listen to me today, because you're going to need to know this in the days that are coming. Because there are going to be some demons that are going to be needing to be cast out. I mean, you might encounter yours at Walmart.
Mm.
I mean, what would you do if a demonized person flopped down on the floor in front of you in Walmart? I know, they'd call 911, but what would you do before the 911 guys got there?
Wow.
Mm.
How many times are you caught off guard by a response?
Right? I know. Right. So, authority is the right to speak and act. Okay?
Mm.
But here's the deal. Authority can get a certain number of things done by itself, but it's kind of like the badge on the policeman's uniform. That's his authority.
Right.
And people are supposed to look at that and say, okay, but the policeman also has power, and that's dunamis, and that's that 45 down on his side there in the holster. That's the power with a policeman to enforce laws and prosecute criminals and so forth.
And both of them have been assigned to him.
That's right.
By proper authority.
That's right. So Jesus, this is what they said about Jesus, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.
Mm.
And believer, you got to be sitting there at that understanding there better, at that intersection where authority and power come together. The authority is really a function, I believe, of the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me. The power is the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. And historically, the church has said, well, we're just going to pick and choose. We're the authority people. We're not really into that gift stuff. We just kind of sit and glow, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you got your gifts only people. Hey, we don't care about that. We don't care about the fruit of the Spirit, man. That's all that love, joy, peace, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. We're into power manifestation. Well, what if we had both together?
Right.
Like Jesus did.
Right.
Which I believe the whole, when you look at the whole presentation of the Gospels and the book of Acts, Jesus first gives the authority.
Yeah.
They don't really have the power. And look what they do with the authority. The 70 go out. They're casting out demons, healing the sick. They come back. Whoa, this is awesome. This is in Luke chapter 10. But the disciples, by and large, and in fact at all, don't really have the power as it was intended to be until Acts chapter 2, when they go to the upper room.
Yeah, yeah.
So the outcome of the whole thing is Jesus is setting this up to have a whole bunch of people that look like him, that act like him, that do what he did. That's what he wants.
Wow.
But this is what happens when Jesus goes to church.
We should be praying that and become pregnant with that.
No, here's the frosting on the cake.
Okay.
You'll remember this.
I do.
Last week, we're sitting here in our staff meeting at Heart of the Father Ministries. We're just about to start praying.
You were, yeah.
We always, you know, do our stuff first, and then we pray together. And so the phone rings. They're like, oh, man, here we go. You
yeah.
know? So Pete goes and gets it.
Don't recognize the number.
And it is, guess who? This lady from the church in this certain state in the upper Midwest that crab walked on her back and slithered like a snake. It's her. And she's calling to say, hey, I'm just calling to testify. I'm doing well. I'm getting on with it. What else did she say? I'm starting a ministry.
She's starting a ministry.
She's starting a ministry of her own there in her state. And I'm like, Jesus, you.
Wow.
This is like 3 or 4 years later. Everything is cool. The demons are gone. I mean.
Yeah. And she's walking it out.
Right. Is that cool or what?
And I would suspect that coming from an experience of authority and power, that that is exactly where her ministry is lined up in, authority and power.
Mm.
See, because when we experience different things, you know, we often want to, you know, make ourselves to be big, to be strong, you know, to be sometimes what we're not, we're putting on display. But Jesus wants us to work within our weaknesses, the places where we get wrecked. That's where your power and authority is. So
In humility.
So if you've been wrecked by a father who dropped you, if you are experiencing a husband who left you, if you are experiencing the loss of a job because of a stand that you've taken, these are the places where God's showing you that that's where your ministry starts to have its work and its power, because that's where he's graced you to come up and out and to speak from something firsthand versus hooking into something and making it yours.
Now, here's something to think about with this whole Jesus goes to church thing.
Yeah.
Who is living in you?
Come on. That's what, right. Exactly.
Pete, who's living
Jesus
inside of you?
Is
Jesus
inside.
Living in you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to go to church Sunday, right?
Yeah. Who's coming with
who's
me?
Who's coming?
Jesus. Jesus is coming with me.
So why don't we just expect, like from Luke chapter 4 here, maybe scriptures will get fulfilled.
Mm.
Maybe people will get mad. Maybe demons will manifest.
Maybe victory will come.
But what we all want is just a nice, calm time with no ripples on the pond.
Can we get out of here by noon?
Yeah, definitely.
And what are we having
and
for
NFL
lunch?
And NFL football starting pretty soon.
Oh, my word.
Too. You
know,
I mean, you really got to, yeah,
I've
I know.
Heard. The draft is already going on.
So, listener, here's the deal.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes to church, it's awesome, but it's an encounter between darkness and light.
Right.
Because darkness is all around us.
Yeah.
Darkness comes to church.
It does.
Darkness is out there where you shop. It's where you work. It's everywhere.
Right.
But light is in you by the power of the gospel, by the cross, by the resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray that over you right now.
Amen.
That there would be such an empowering of you, the authority will be activated. That's how it happens, actually, by the power when the Spirit comes upon you.
Right.
So, Father, we just thank you today for these precious listeners that are hearing this word. Lord, I thank you today that Jesus does come to church in 2021. that he's going to do so even through these listeners that are hearing this word.
Yes.
So, Lord, prepare them. Yes. Right now, I just ask for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. I ask for them to speak in tongues. I ask for them to prophesy. I ask for them to release other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And to stand in the authority because they have been so close to Jesus. They just have been in that intimacy, and Jesus just breathes something to do, and they do it. We call on you, Father, for those things to happen. By your Spirit, by your authority and power working together in these. We thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I ask that in the midst of all this, it would never bring anxiety or any kind of wrong kind of stress, Lord, that it would just be by peace from the Prince of Peace. Just like it was with me with that lady there on Sunday morning. It wasn't really difficult, but I rested in you and I trusted you completely, but there was something I had to do. And Lord, I just thank you that there are things that these people are going to do, sometimes in church and sometimes in other places. And we release that now in Jesus' name. Amen.